Good to see everybody. Today, we're going to start a new series. Today's message is titled, Blessed to be a Blessing. We're going to look at the life of Abraham and how he was called. If some of you remember, years ago, Carrie Wong, one of the people we support overseas, came and he gave this message. I don't know if anybody remembers. It was like 10 years ago. It's like, blessed to be a blessing. He used the same passage. But I'm going to be preaching from our goal, our kind of like principles of being on a mission together with the BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. So let's just review that. What does B stand for? Begin with prayer. What's L? Listen. What's E? Eat with people. What's S? Serve. And the last S? Share your story. It's on your outline in case your memory's not good. So we're going to look at these things. I think it will really encourage us. So to start out, I want to remind us of one of the parables we looked at when we were studying Luke. A man came to Jesus, and he said, Teacher, like, make my brother divide the inheritance with me. And so he's worried about money. He feels like he's not getting his fair share, right? Does any of you know in any situations where there's an argument over an inheritance? Yeah, it happened. Ingrid's family, her aunt and uncle didn't talk to each other for 20 years because there's this argument over you took, you know, mom and dad's, you know, money, and no, you have it. And, like, it divided the family. So Jesus' response is really interesting. He said, watch out for greed. So he doesn't really address kind of this justice issue the person's bringing up. He's saying, like, watch out, guard your heart. And he told the story of the man who was a great, you know, farmer, businessman. His farm is so prosperous, he can't contain all his crops. He's like, gee, what am I going to do? And he said, oh, I got a great idea. I'll just build bigger barns, store all the crops, I'll be set for years to come, and I'll just say, soul, take it easy, eat, drink, be merry. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul's required of you. Now who's going to own everything you have? And Jesus said, that's what it's like for the person who lays up treasure for themselves but isn't rich toward God. And so the first point today is the rich fool was only thinking of whom? Himself. And so we want to be like Abraham, who's blessed to be a blessing. And that's something that is really written in our hearts. So let's pray together. Father God, we pray that your truth would reside in our hearts, inspire us, change us. Help me, Lord, be your vessel this morning. I thank you for my friends who are all here, and every week they want to hear your word. So please bless your word to them and make it alive, I pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to read to you. You can read along right on your sheet, Genesis 12. It's actually more than verses 2 to 3. I'm going to read down to verse 7. So the Lord called Abraham, and he said, leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan. They arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. Amen. Now let's pray together again. Father, I pray that this passage about blessing will find a place in our hearts in a big way in Jesus' name. So God calls Abram Abraham got a name change when he was 99. So in this passage, he's called Abram, A-B-R-A-M, which means exalted father. Abraham means father of many. So when he's 99, God renews a covenant with him. He says, you're going to be a father of many nations. But today we just want to focus on this initial calling. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And then going on to say, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Is that some kind of promise? Yes. So the next point on your outline is Abraham was chosen by God. Does God say there's something special about Abraham, some special righteousness or something that caused God to pick him? No, it doesn't say anything about that. It just says God chose him. It's by grace. And so Abraham's an example of grace for us. God called him. God chose him. And there's two big points that God wanted to make. It's one, I'm going to bless you big time. And two, I'm going to bless the rest of the world through you. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us how Abraham responded to that. I mean, what would you do if God said that to you? It's like, okay. But Abraham had a great heart because he had to leave. And in Hebrews 11, it says, Abraham went out by faith, not knowing where he was going. And that takes faith. So he's chosen, and then he responds with faith, and he moves out and obeys. And that's the way it is with us. God chooses us. We have the opportunity to obey, and he leads us. So we want to be like Abraham. The Old Testament, from the very beginning, here we are in Genesis, points to the Messiah, Jesus. Think about it. How can one man, Abraham, bless every nation, every ethnic group on the face of the world? That seems like an impossibility. So God chose Abraham and his descendants to become his very own people. God distinguished them in a certain way. What did God do to distinguish the Jewish race? What? Circumcision, that's one. What else? What did he give them? The law. The law of Moses. So the law told the Jews how to live, how to relate to each other, laws regarding society, laws regarding how to atone for their sin, how to approach God. And they were different from everybody else on the earth. And so Jews were known as people of the book because they had the law of God. So that was a good thing. It distinguished them. A friend of mine is a Jewish believer, and he was speaking recently, and he quoted someone who said, the Jews prove that there is a God. And he's thinking about, oh, so why is that? So think about it. Here's Abraham. He's chosen. He goes, for centuries, they're just this nomadic people roaming around Israel. And now, 4,000 years later, the Jews still exist as an ethnic group. Think of all the other groups the Bible mentions back then, the Moabites, the Jebusites, the Midianites, the Ammonites, you know, the Philistines, the Hittites. Are any of those groups still around today? No, but the Jews are. Even after they were exiled in Assyria and Babylon and came back, even after there was what was called a diaspora, they were spread all over the face of the world, they maintained their ethnic identity, which led this one Jewish leader to say, the Jews prove the existence of God. We're still around. I actually think that's a great point. The people of the book. And it all began with one man and this promise, I'm going to make you great. All the people of the world are going to be blessed through you. So God made a fresh covenant with the Jewish people through Moses and the law. He promised to protect them, prosper them, as long as they did what? Only worshiped him. Kept his commandments. Very simple. Now let me ask a question. Which came first, God's grace or God's law? God's grace came first. They were chosen. There's a place where God even says, God didn't pick you because you were greater than anybody else. You were actually small. You were the smallest nation. But he distinguished you by giving you his great and wonderful law. Now, how good were the Jews at keeping the covenant? Not very good. When they came out of Egypt, I just looked at this afresh. In a matter of days, like 3 days later, there wasn't any water, and they're grumbling, oh, God, you know, Moses, what are you doing? So God gave them water. 2 months later, they're saying, there's no meat. We should have stayed in Egypt. We had lots of meat in Egypt. God had to send the quail. 3 months later, they're at Mount Sinai. What happened there? Moses goes up on the mountain for, you know, 40 days, and after a couple weeks, they're like, well, maybe Moses isn't coming back. They form a golden idol and start worshiping it. Now, I said this. Don't look down on the Jews, okay? We're not that great at obeying God's commandments either. So if we go back to our outline, point three was God's promises, I'm going to bless every nation through you. What do the Jewish people prove there is a God? And the next point is their failure shows we all need a what? Savior. We need a Savior. We need a Messiah. And so that's the reminder. Five times in this passage, God tells Abraham, I will make you great. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And then he prophesies, through you, every family, every people group will be blessed. Our Lord Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. And it's through Christ that the promise to Abraham 2,000 plus years later begins to come into fulfillment. On the day of Pentecost, Luke notes something. Luke, in all his gospel in the book of Acts, is very keen on this point that God's calling the nations, not just the Jews, to himself. And so in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, if you read it, he records 16 different nationalities, different people from 16 different countries, who commented like, wow, we hear all these people praying in our own language, exalting God, saying how great he is, and they're part of the 3,000 people who became believers all in one day. And so Luke has this, the nations are coming. The promise to Abraham is being fulfilled starting on this day of Pentecost. Amen? It's great. I think God's amazing. He promised things thousands of years ago, and he orchestrates all of history to come down and make it come true. Praise God. You and I are a part of this. You're called and chosen like Abraham. You're blessed in Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven. You've become children of God. You've been made a new people. You're a new creation. The old things are gone. New things have come. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power from heaven's at work in your life. You have righteousness, peace, and joy because of what God's given you in Christ. And what did Jesus say? Freely you have received, therefore what? Freely give. So blessed to be a blessing is something that Jesus reiterates and confirms in the gospel. Abraham became a great man. We still talk about him today. That's pretty good. How many other people around in Abraham's time are we still remembering today? I don't know. I guess there's some pharaohs maybe that they found inscriptions from archaeologically that are in history books. He became a great nation. The Jewish nation is still alive today. Countless millions. Remember, God told Abraham, you're going to be like the stars of the sky in number. And there's been countless millions of Jewish people all over the last 4,000 years. He was blessed to be a blessing. And in the same manner, God has made you great. You might not be feeling great this morning, but God has made you great. You're great in Jesus Christ. You have a great name. Maybe you don't like your name. You know, when I say Jerry Jellison, do people say, wow, what a great man. But you know what? The name Jerry Jellison has been written in the book of life in heaven. Is there any greater honor than that? God's given you a great name. And he's blessed you to be a blessing. Praise God. Look at Romans 8, 16 and 17. It's the third scripture on your sheet. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So that's just an amazing thing. When you're a child, you become an heir. Somebody say amen. Praise God. This is really good. As his follower, you get to be a blessing. So in the outline, God has made you great in Jesus. Freely you've received, freely give. And then the next point, this is a wonderful way to live. Right? I receive from God grace, help, blessings, and then I turn around and I give them to somebody else. So I really want us to have a sense of calling on our lives, that this is something that we get to do. Like some things like, oh, I have to do this. No, like we get to be a blessing. So what would your life look like if every morning you got up and prayed, Lord, how can I be a blessing to someone else today? Help me to be a blessing to someone else today. What would that look like? Well, you're going to find out because your homework is you're going to pray every day, how can I be a blessing to someone else? See, how do we start living this way? We begin with what? Prayer. And a prayer we can pray is, Lord, who can I bless today? Very simple. All of us can pray this. It's not too hard. In Thailand, some Christians did a study of two different missionary groups. One group, which we'll call the blessers, had a goal of being a blessing to people. The second group, they called the converters, their group was solely evangelistic. We just want to share the gospel with everybody we come in contact with. So after, I can't remember how many years it was, they examined the results of these two groups. Not surprisingly, the first group had a big social impact. They did all sorts of good deeds and provided social good for the people. The second observation the study made was when it came to how many people actually came to faith, guess which group led more people to Christ? The blessers. They were 50 times more successful than the converters. Wow. They led 50 times as many people to Christ because they adopted Jesus' attitude. Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. Praise God. So I want us as a church to adopt this mission mindset. That's number 8. We're blessed to be a blessing. It begins with prayer. We're going to start the day. Okay, Lord, who can I bless today? You can pray that when you're driving to work. You can pray that on the tee. You can pray, Lord, who can I bless at school today? Right, kids? Who can I bless at school? Kids at school need love and encouragement and help. I'm ashamed of how many times, looking back in my life, we made fun of certain kids at school. That's terrible. As a Christian, I should have been the one to, like, try and befriend them or be kind to them or, you know, speak a good word to them. So all of you young people, you have a great opportunity at school to be a blessing to people. So, Lord, who can I bless today? I'm not asking you to pray, Lord, I got to convert somebody today. No, that's not our immediate concern. Of course, we want to help people find the Lord. Amen? Jesus said, I put it there, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, if I tell the average person, somebody next door say, you know, I'm here to seek and save the lost, are they going to understand what I'm talking about? No, they're going to look at you as like, yeah, you are kind of weird, Dave. But if I tell someone like, hey, Our church exists to help people find their way back to God. Do you think they can understand that? Yeah, they can. And so that's kind of like as a mission goal or statement. It's like we want to help people find their way back to God. But we begin with prayer and just wanting to be a blessing to people. Ingrid, just this past week, had what we call a divine appointment. Divine appointment is when it just seems like God orchestrates you running into someone or meeting up with someone. She's coming down the street. She was on one of her power walks. And this woman that she knows not real well, has like a number of children on our street, comes out and goes, "Ingrid!" She practically runs across the street. She goes, I've got to talk to you. She's a public school teacher. She goes, an eighth grader was stabbed in the boys' room today in our school. And she was very upset about it. And so she was talking to her, and then she went into some, like, personal things with her family and kids and all this. I mean, she just, Ingrid says she like, just for 15 minutes, just, like, talked nonstop. So Ingrid just listened. And at the end, Ingrid said, no, you know, she encouraged her and just, you know, she said, you made some good decisions in things that you've done. And the woman said this to her when it was all done. She goes, you know, it kind of seems like God sent you on the street just at this time so I could talk to you. And Ingrid's like, yeah. So that was really great. I have another story I just read in a book. This is from a church in Chicago that really has this blessed to be a blessing mentality. There's a guy from the church. He goes to the mall, and he sees someone, looks kind of lonely, and he sort of has that nudge like, oh, go tell that person that I love them. And the guy's like, nah, Lord, yeah, I don't know. That's probably not the Lord. And, you know, goes about, goes shopping. Comes out of a store. The guy's still there. Feels that same sort of nudge. He's like, no. And he, like, goes. A third time he comes back. The guy is still there. He still has this burden. He goes, okay. He goes over and goes, hey, I don't know how to explain this, but I just feel like God wants me to come over and say to you that he loves you. And the guy gets this shocked expression. He goes, wow. He goes, you don't know this. He goes, but I'm really at the end of my rope. And I prayed this morning, God, if you're there, show me. You're the third person today who stopped by and said, God loves you. Now, wouldn't you like to be part of that story? Well, we can. Just like, Lord, how can I bless somebody today? It might not be so supernatural. It might just be someone like Ingrid. You just have to listen to him. Or speak an encouraging word. Serve them in some way. Help them. I don't know. But if our prayer is, Father, who can I bless today? I bet we'll see all sorts of wonderful answers to prayer. Because God wants to answer that prayer in our lives. Are you with me? So we're blessed to what? Be a blessing. And can we have the worship team back up, Ed, for the closing song? It's a great way to live where I receive God's grace every day. Jesus laid aside his privileges to save me, to serve me. So I get to receive the blessing of that. I can say, okay, Lord, how can I share that with somebody else? You guys have forgiveness in your life. You know the Lord in a real way. People all around you, they don't have that. They don't know they're forgiven. Some of them don't like the idea of being forgiven, but a lot of them are walking around with a lot of guilt on their hearts. We have something they need. And we can share that with them. I'm convinced that God can use every single one of you in a wonderful way. If we just keep it simple, Lord, who can I bless today? Amen? All right. Well, Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Abba, I pray that you will free us from a mindset of like, okay, I got to like convert somebody today, or things that just sort of burden us and they don't help us. So, Father, I pray we can lay that aside. And just say, Father, who can I bless today? That will be a prayer. We just ask to give us the grace. Remind us to pray that every day. If it's just for less than a minute. I forgot. Lord, who can I bless today as I go into work? Who can I bless today as I go into school? And Father, I pray that you will begin to open our eyes to people that we can encourage or help or bless. Father, thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you that our names are written in heaven. Thank you that we're great in a way that Abraham wasn't, because he didn't get to know Jesus and be born of your Spirit like we have. So thank you. We want to honor you. We look forward to seeing what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you go out, sing how God's a blessing to us, and thinking of telling others about that. Your goodness found us in the darkness, rescued us and freed us, cleansed us from within. You saved us. Freely you forgave us, counted us as righteous, and dips with your own Son. Isn't he good? Isn't he kind? And hasn't he blessed us time after time? Isn't he good? Ceaseless grace. Let us sing. He is good. Your mercies.